This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Round with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:07 in the morning, Wednesday the 6th of November, and US equities continue to hover near record highs as investors digested the latest earnings and economic data while also awaiting more news about trade talks between the US and China.
It's the perennial trade talks, and Dow Jones rose to a fresh record. Nasdaq also held steady while the S&P 500 fell slightly after yesterday's record. Financial and energy shares were leaders, while the healthcare and real estate firms lagged.
And outside of equities, 10-year Treasury yields hit their highest since September. Brent crude rose about 1.2% to $63 a barrel, up 4.4% from last Thursday, while gold slipped below $1,500 an ounce. It looks like it's risk on again for markets.
And indeed, for more insight into global markets, this morning we have with us on the line Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Dodge. Now, with the Dow, the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq all hitting and hovering around new all-time highs this week, is it time for some profit-taking, or do you think this rally still has legs?
Well, yes, the rally still has legs, although it's most definitely a very important reality that there is rotation. We were seeing further subsurface technical improvement, which is really good. Some of the negative divergences are disappearing. We're seeing a lot of secondary and other smaller issues having formed bases are now likely to come to the fore. It's a long-term plus that the New York Stock Exchange, both the daily and the weekly advanced decline lines, are once again moved to all-time highs. So we're seeing some real strength in the market, but you can't just buy the market. Yes, it is risk on, as you were saying before, but you have to be selective. We are no longer seeing the strength in real estate investment trusts and utilities, the safe areas. They're now undergoing some weakness, at least short term, because, as you were saying, it is risk on. So we're seeing banks, cyclical issues, healthcare stocks, technology is some parts of technology are looking good. Small to mid-cap technology look good. Airlines look good. Cyclicals in general look good. So there are areas that one can buy. But as far as we're concerned, we are buyers, but we're not long-term buyers. We are looking for the sector rotation to continue. And so we take advantage of the moves into certain areas. And then, although we may not get the timing perfectly right, but we will take profits.
And Dutch Uber fell 10% last night after announcing the results. Investors are worried about the supply of lockup shares coming into market. Is Uber on your shopping list?
Yes, but not quite yet. I mean, when you see $20 billion on the sell side, yes, the lockup is actually expiring tomorrow, our day. That's a pretty big loss to accumulate with a $48 billion stock. So we do expect, as Uber gets back into the 32 area, 33 area, yes, we do expect to be, you know, the prior investors have to ask themselves, do they stay on longer term or do they get out with a small profit? So we'll see. As far as we're concerned, we'd like to see it get above $36, which is where it was back in early September, late August. And then once it gets there, we will look for increasing volume as buying interest may come in. And then, yes, we would be buyers, but we would not be long-term buyers. Again, we'd be looking to take advantage of moves into Uber as it proves itself. And then we'll just wait and see. We'll probably sell, then buy back. Our intent would be to buy back at lower prices.
And Dodge, it's a similar story with Beyond Meat, with lockup shares coming onto the market. However, this one-time unicorn is finally turned a profit its first quarter. So are you a buyer of this name?
Getting close, because we see it turning at a higher level than it was back in early June, late May. So yes, we want to see some conviction in the buying, which we would look at probably around $110. And again, the stock really has to prove itself. It's not about the fundamentals of a company. It's about the expectation of the fundamentals and the market's reaction to the fundamentals that we're watching very closely. This is true of most new stocks where profits are not in the near-term future, except, of course, Beyond Meat. Beyond Meat is playing well over here. So we do expect to be able to buy it probably between 115 and 120 it's been there before. It's been as high as above 200. So it's got a long way to go to make up for the loss that has occurred. But first, we want to see it stop going down, which it's trying to do right now, which is more than what we're seeing in Uber at this point. Then we want to see it base, and then we want to see it start to grow and get out of that downtrend that we've seen for the last four weeks.
And Dodge Marriott International, which is the world's largest hotel company, also reported a 23% drop in quarterly profits and lowered its expectations as growth moderated across its markets. Now, are you a believer in this old-school hospitality stocks, or would you prefer to buy the disruptor Airbnb when it goes public in 2020?
We will buy the disruptors when they prove that they can make money and grow. Until then, we are more buyers of, again, the old school, Marriott. Marriott was up afterwards, and it's looking good so far. The Marriott was up, as well as Hilton and Hyatt. All three hotels were up over 1.6%. The Marriott's loyalty program, they're adding rooms and properties. Their revenue beat was good. Their earnings per share missed. It wasn't such a big surprise given the Hong Kong protest and the slower fourth quarter fee gains. So, yes, there is some trade apprehension in some of the old schools such as Marriott. But we expect them to be able to better survive what is going on now, which is not as much fundamental as what's going on geopolitically. But as time goes on, we do expect the disruptors to come on much stronger. And then if Marriott and the others cannot change and adapt, we're out of them.
Thank you so much, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dolland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management in New York. And I think he put it quite succinctly there. You know, when it comes to disruptors, he will start looking into them when they prove that they can actually make money. Rather in line with what you believe, isn't it, Channing?
Yeah, Dodge and I agree on this. I'm not a big fan of unicorns. But yesterday, there was an interesting article on Bloomberg where the Goldman boss also said that companies, investors should look at profits for a change. I think
I think they're very disappointed that they have underperformed the S&P 500. I mean, the likes of Berkshire Hathaway this year has only given 5.something% in returns compared to the S&P 500 over 20%. That's led by the tech stocks that are apparently not making money.
Well, the tech stocks that have made money are the old school ones in a way. So you're talking about the likes of Amazon and
Facebook.
Facebook,
not
Microsoft.
A lot though for Amazon.
Yeah, but not the unicorns of today. I mean, like some of the listings that have gone on, like Uber's below water. There was this Verbio that's below water. Slack is below water. All these companies which had such great potential, and everybody thought they would
As a result of that, the millennials and the Gen Zs have to watch out, because if there is a quest to make money, then they would have to remove a lot of the freebies. I'm looking at you, Lynn.
Yes, I guess that is something that we will have to keep in mind. But also just taking a look this morning at a name which has been associated with a number of these unicorns in recent months. SoftBank Group's telco subsidiary, SoftBank Corp, reported a 9% rise in second quarter operating profit, beating estimates and buoyed by its cash cow mobile business. SoftBank Corp's results are closely watched by investors, as it is Japan's third largest telco, and they've also committed to pay out 85% of their profits as dividends. But it's also an indicator of the health of its parent, SoftBank Group Corp, which has a 67% stake.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether this is just going to be a sideshow for SoftBank, because they, in the short term, have so many problems. They just got over the WeWork, in which they had to bail out their Vision Fund to the tune of $10 billion, US dollars. And they have other cash guzzlers as well. For example, Didi Chuxing, which was the erstwhile competitor of Uber in China, mm-hmm. and Uber got out of China. That is coming up with a cash call to the tune of about $12 billion as well. And I think that those are some of the problems that SoftBank faces. Masayoshi Son, the leader of SoftBank, has a 300-year plan for SoftBank, believe it or not. But in the short term, definitely they have to focus on what you'd like to focus on, Xiaoning, which is how to make money.
Yeah, invest in companies that already make money, or at least you know when they're going to make money, rather than just the, you know, the statement foreseeable future, which is not a way to invest at all.
So SoftBank is expected to post an operating loss of about $442 million for this July-September quarter. This is according to data compiled by Refinitiv, versus an operating profit of $6.5 billion a year earlier, and it would be its first quarterly loss in 14 years. But right now, we are heading into a few messages, and then we'll be back with more local news for you. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.